Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for the day. Please be seated. In between verses 24 to 30 in this parable and our Lord's explanation in verses 36 to 43 lie two more parables. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. I find it a curious juxtaposition when one considers that the parable of the sower has preceded all of these with its description of 100-fold, 60, and 30. One might get the idea that hearing the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven can only mean that the church is going to grow by leaps and bounds and be eminently successful in this world. But this parable of the weeds exposes a dark side in opposition to our optimistic thinking. Not everyone is happy with the growth of God's kingdom. One merely need open his eyes to the fact that beautiful flowers and vegetables are not the only things that grow in our gardens. Early in the growing season, we had mulch put down in all of our landscaped areas around our home. Up until just a few weeks ago, there were no weeds. But as surely as the sun rise on a hot July morning, the weeds also began to pop up in spite of our best efforts to keep them out of our gardens. The kingdom of God, the church, is the focus of our Lord's parable. He compares the kingdom of heaven to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Everything seems destined for spectacular growth. Everything will be like the Garden of Eden. We in the church have come to expect it to be this way because it is of God. And we would be partly correct. We plant the word and it is God who gives it the growth. But there is a factor that we often fail to include: the opposition of the enemy. Notice how subtly Jesus reminds us, even in the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Here, another kind of opposition is described: sabotage. The Romans had a law that made it illegal to sow weeds in another's field because it would bring financial ruin to the unsuspecting farmer whose field was ruined by his enemy. He really couldn't do anything until it was too late, because the weeds that the enemy sowed were most likely what the Jews called bastard wheat, or the bearded darnel, a plant that closely resembles wheat in its early stages, but later produces black, inedible, poison seeds. These parables of growth should remind us clearly that we live under the cross in this world. Times of growth are also times of stress. There is no relief until the harvest has been safely gathered in. The kingdom of glory has not yet arrived and will not arrive until our Lord returns. Life under the cross is what describes the life of the church militant. These are times of growth, and yet they are times of stress. Of course, it is much easier to identify enemies that are outside the church, such as when a tyrannical government opposes Christianity, finds Christians, persecutes them, and puts them to death. It is much easier to survive against an identifiable enemy. But what should we do when the enemy is among us? The enemy penetrates also to the innermost sanctuary itself. If we were talking merely about false doctrine, it would be easy for us to identify the weeds. For the church should never tolerate false doctrine in her midst because it is toxic poison. But other fruits of that false doctrine soon begin to grow as well. We expect everybody in the church to act in a Christian manner. That doesn't seem so unreasonable, does it? But isn't Jesus saying that the sons of the evil one will also be found in God's field? And we question, maybe blame God by asking, "Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Why are there weeds in your church?" And then we ask our Lord if he wishes us to pull them out, volunteering for the job of chief weed puller in the kingdom. It's a noble expression of devotion and commitment, but also very wrong. Why are there these toxic seeds or weeds in Christ's church? Why should we tolerate them? Who are they? You're running that through your mind right now as you listen to my words. And you probably have quite a list going. But we need look no further than ourselves for the answer. Have you always spoken and acted as good seed? Or have you acted more like prickly weeds? Sometimes, maybe especially in the Missouri Synod, we plant the toxic seeds of Satan in God's field. Why should we be surprised that the church is full of weeds? God's enemy is most active where God is most active. Most lay people are surprised to hear that and even experience it. I've had some people who stopped attending divine service, had not come in years, say to me, "The reason that I stopped attending divine service was because of so-and-so. She acted in such an unchristian manner toward me that I don't want to come anymore, and I won't come back as long as she is still a member." I don't know when I've ever heard a more damning indictment. That's not to approve this person's reason for staying away from word and sacrament, but to identify a fellow Christian as the poison, toxic weed which chokes the spiritual life out of another is quite a serious matter. Jesus says that it is damnable to cause the death of another Christian. Wherever the good seed of God's word is sown, you can be absolutely sure that Satan is sowing his toxic seeds of envy, discord, strife, rebellion, and whatever other bitter fruit he produces. He opposes it, and he snatches away the good seed whenever he can. And when he cannot do that, he sows weeds among the good seed. This parable teaches that God has incredible patience. While we would rush out and begin pulling up the weeds, God says, "No, wait until the harvest. Let them both grow, and I will have my holy angels separate them at the end." We have trouble thinking and living eschatologically, just like the servants. But God can tell, unerringly so, the weeds from the wheat, and he will make no mistakes. It doesn't happen in the created order, for a weed is a weed, is a weed in our gardens, but in God's field, sometimes weeds become wheat. As the example of Saul of Tarsus proves, by the transforming power of our resurrected Lord, Saul became a true planting of God. St. Augustine said, "They who today are tares may tomorrow become grain." How remarkable that God can change individuals by His Word. Maybe this is the reason that God allows the weeds to grow so long among the wheat. The day of God's grace still holds sway. God is not anxious to destroy anyone for eternity, quite the opposite. God wills to change weeds into wheat. I suspect that there will be some surprises at the Last Judgment. In the meantime, we rest in God's sustaining nourishment in Word and Sacrament and leave all things to His unfailing direction. Let the weeds grow. God will see to it. There will indeed be the unquenchable fire in which all the weeds will be burned. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But there will also be the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Preach you the word and plant it home and never faint. The harvest Lord, who gave the sower seed to sow, will watch and tend His planted word. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.